Vince Colonnais here alongside Mary Walter. Good morning.
Good morning. Joining us right now, Joe DeGeneva is a legal analyst. Joe, good morning. Welcome to Mornings on the Mall. Happy Monday.
Good morning.
Joe there?
Yeah,
I'm here.
There you are. Hi, Joe. Wanted to talk to you about the shooting in Las Vegas. CBS News is now reporting that investigators have located this Marilou Danley that they were looking for, and they're identifying her now as the suspected shooter's wife. So we've got a lot of news coming up very quickly. This investigation seems to be moving at a very rapid pace. Where can we expect an investigation like this to go from here? What's the process?
Well, 64-year-old, apparently white male, with automatic weapons on the 32nd floor of a resort in Las Vegas. This is not a standard profile. This is a highly unusual profile. What they will want to know is about his background. Did he have any military training? Did he used to work in Las Vegas at a hotel? He's living in a retirement community. So this is not the type of person that ordinarily engages in this type of behavior. There's some precipitating event for this, or he's mentally ill. This just doesn't make any sense. There's nothing here that works. And so we need to figure this out. You have to have some training to use the weapons the way he did. Very, very good police work, by the way, and security at the hotel in terms of once this went down, identifying the room and getting him taken out. A really incredible SWAT team work. If you haven't heard the police scanner on this, you should listen to it. It is truly dramatic and riveting. Multiple firearms in the room. How the hell did he get them in there? What kind of luggage did he have to get this stuff into the room? So a lot of questions. Did he used to work at this hotel? Who knows? This is obviously an awful, awful incident with 50 people dead and 200 plus injured. It does show the danger of large venues where you go with thousands of people. You are not safe at large venues anymore, no matter what. Whether people want to know that or not, whether it's a football stadium with the clowns in the NFL or whether or not it's a venue of a country and western festival, there is no safe place anymore. People just need to accept that and assume the risk.
Yeah, as we watch this, the death toll has already outpaced the horrific Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando.
Yep.
And these, Joe, are considered soft targets, right?
Oh, yes. There's no perimeter to speak of, and there's no place to go. When you have 20, 30,000 people all scrunched together, there is no place to go except hit the ground. And in a situation like this, where someone is shooting from above, this is. There's nothing you can do.
You are
literally a victim, and you're lucky if you don't get hit. God help all these poor people. Just really, really good work, by the way, by the Las Vegas Police and Sheriff's Department in finding this woman, getting her car. She obviously knows an awful lot. They're executing search warrants at their house in a retirement community about 80 miles outside of Vegas, so we shall see.
Yeah, you talk about all these, the police response here and their ability to get there. You know, having been in Las Vegas a couple times, mostly for political events, the one thing I realized about Vegas is it's never quick to get anywhere. I mean, it takes a lot just to even move through a single hotel, and for them to be able to figure out that it was the 32nd floor specifically on a very tall hotel seems like, I think, kind of sort of a good exercise in logistical response.
Well,
in the face of this.
And here's the other thing. Remember, I was just discussing this with my wife, Victoria. The Las Vegas hotels are just filled with cameras. Every corridor, every elevator. And the reason they do that, obviously, is just for general security, but also because of cheating and protecting the casinos and gambling and just general security. Some of the best security in the United States is in Las Vegas hotels. So they will have film, digital film, of this guy entering the room, whether or not he went there alone, whether or not the woman was with him. They will have a story because of the security systems that exist at places like Mandalay Bay Resort and Hotel.
Joe, wanted to take a change here and just talk about the Supreme Court because they're back. What is coming up on the docket? What do you find interesting coming up?
Well, to me, the most interesting case of all, I mean, there's always a lot of interest in all the usual suspect type cases, like the cake and whether or not somebody can bake a cake. you know, be forced to bake a cake for a gay couple. To me, the most interesting case of all is the dues for unions, for public unions. This is a case which would have been dealt with had Justice Scalia not died. This is a case in which the question is whether or not public employees can be forced to pay union dues, whether forcing government employees to pay union fees that go to collective bargaining arrangements violates the free speech rights of public employees. This case will be overturn a former opinion by the Supreme Court of 1977, and it will rule that this is unconstitutional, that you cannot force public employees into a union and force them to pay dues for things that they don't agree with, like political positions or legal positions on legislation. So that, to me, is the most interesting case. I mean, obviously, the whether or not you can force somebody to bake a cake for somebody they don't want to bake a cake for has a silliness quotient to it that doesn't match the kind of the other stuff on the calendar for me.
And Joe, the union case, I believe, is only for public sector units.
That is correct.
Unions. It doesn't affect
right.
private sector. But I thought public sector unions were required to hold that money separately. So you only pay for the part that you benefit from, for instance, collective bargaining. So you would only, or you're only forced to pay dues from what you would benefit from. They can't force you already to pay dues, for instance, you know, lobbying efforts.
Well, these are particularized rules that they are forced to pay union fees that go to collective bargaining arrangements. And the unions still get those fees, and that money is there. And the view is that money is fungible. Even if they're saying they're setting it aside, that money is fungible. And if your money's coming in, then they've got somebody else's money they can use. The problem is the union is speaking on your behalf as a public employee, taking political positions. That's what the case is about. The case is about them taking positions. You are forced to be a member of that union because you're a government employee and there's a collective bargaining agreement. This says you don't have, they do not have the right to speak on your behalf. So this is a big deal. I mean, this is a very, very, very big issue.
Hey, Joe, can we hold you over for another segment here?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, good. I'm glad to have you, because there's a couple more cases out of the Supreme Court that we'd like to get to with you, I guess, if I put all of my prepositions in the right order. Anyway, that's coming up. Stay tuned. 9 people. There was a shooting outside the Mandalay Bay Hotel. 50-plus people are now dead. 200-plus people have been hurt. The shooter was killed. He was firing from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Hotel, right there on the very southernmost tip of the Las Vegas Strip. But also going on, some other news is the Supreme Court is back in session, and they're taking on a number of cases. And one here, Joe DeGenova, that I'm looking at is this case, Carpenter versus United States. And it says that the justices are set to decide, quote, whether taking without a search warrant the cell phone tower data that records the movements of individual cell phone users violates the Fourth Amendment. So question of whether or not they can just, without a warrant, seize cell phone tower records. What do you think of that case?
Well, this is sort of where we are now, that technology consumes our life. We live by cell phones. We communicate orally. We communicate in writing, text messages, emails on our cell phones. This is the new frontier, and I think the law is quite behind in this area. My own view is that police should have to get a search warrant in order to get cell phone tower data. There's no way in the world that information is not private. The fact that it goes through a common carrier doesn't make the slightest bit of difference. That the police should have to get a warrant in order to get cell phone tower data that records the movements of an individual cell phone. Your movements are your business unless there is a legitimate governmental reason to know them. And if there is a legitimate government reason to know them, then they ought to be able to convince a court of that. If there are fast-moving street scenes where a crime is in progress and something like that occurs, there can be exceptions to that. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about ordinary, just picking up cell phone data and using it. This is pretty simple stuff. And it's a big deal. And I assume the court is going to come down on the side of you got to have a warrant.
Well, look, I mean,
it certainly should come down on that side.
If we get outraged about the government potentially assembling gun registries, we should be far more outraged by the idea that they're just going to tap into our cell phones and figure out where we are moment to moment. I hope the court comes down the right side of this thing.
Well, it's Orwellian. I mean, this truly is Orwellian, where the government can just find out where you are without the consent of a court. There has to be an end to the ability of the government. You know, we've already been through this with the FISA court and the ability of the government to scoop up all this data and store it forever someplace out in Utah until they want to look at it. That poses all sorts of problems, Fourth Amendment problems. This is directly related to your daily activities, where you're going, using the cell phone tower to track you. If you're that important, or if there's enough of a reason, the government ought to be able to convince a court that there's a reason to track you.
You know what, though? I think there's lack of outrage because so many people just willingly give up their information because they're like, oh, they already have it. It's no big deal. I've heard it before. I hear so many people that I'm shocked. Vince, you've said it, you know, and there's some things
where
I say
it because
you're like, well, they've already got all my information,
yes.
So what's the big deal? Whereas a gun registry, I have to go down to the police department and I have to register what I've just bought with them. There's a physical action required with that, whereas someone monitoring where I am by tracking my cell phone, I'm not even aware of it.
Creepy.
I think that's why you don't see the outrage.
It's creepy and it's scary and it's invasive. And the fact that it feels creepy is one of the reasons that the Fourth Amendment should apply to it. We shouldn't have to worry about whether or not we're being tracked through cell phone tower information without a damn good reason.
Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
Definitely. And just because a bunch of people are complacent about it definitely doesn't excuse
why we have. Well, they don't control my rights.
Why
they can be complacent all they want. The issue is what are my rights, not their rights. I could care less about them.
Yeah, that, I don't blame you at all.
Point.
I do want to finish what you said is going to be the number one issue, though, which is this masterpiece cake shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission. The Supreme Court's going to consider whether the government is forcing this Christian baker to customize the design of a wedding cake to celebrate same-sex marriage violates his Christian rights. Where do you think the court should come down on this?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that when you have a business and you open your doors, you know, you want to serve people. Now, does that mean that you have to do everything that everybody wants who comes into your business? I don't think so. While I kind of don't know why the guy just doesn't make a lousy cake for him, just make a bad one. You want a cake? I'll make a cake. It may not be the best cake you'll ever see. It may be an ugly cake. I don't know what particularly
a little passive aggression in the cake making process.
I mean, however, if he doesn't want to make the cake because it violates his Christian beliefs, I don't know how the government can force him to bake a cake. I just don't understand how the government has the right to do that.
I mean, can I compel a baker?
They can bake their own cake. They can go to another baker. It's not like they don't have choices.
Can I compel a baker to put a Nazi swastika on a cake, or can I?
That is exactly the point. That is the point. What is it about a bakery that gives a citizen the right to go in and tell the baker what to do? I don't think people have those rights. Just because you have a business and you have to be, and let's say you're a public accommodation, you certainly have to serve people. If you're a public place, you can't say to people, I'm not going to serve you because you're black. You can say to a gay person, I'll make you a cake, but I'm not going to make you a cake that celebrates gay rights. I don't believe in that. It's against my religion. But I will make you a cake. There's a difference between that
yes.
and a guy saying, I'm not going to bake you a cake at all.
Well, it's going to be a busy session of the Supreme Court, and I'm glad Joe DeGenova was here to break it all down for us as they kick off today. Joe, thanks as always.
You bet.
Nice to have you.